We turn our hearts to God as we prepare to worship. We come humbly before Him, seeking God's loving forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love.
Amen. Amen. Trusting in God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And for his sake, God forgives you all of your sins. Amen.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord God, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for reward, except that of knowing that we do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Chapter 20. Verses 7 to 13. A reading from Jeremiah. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out, I must shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed, and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble, and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise to the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers. Word of God, word of life.
Surely, for your sake, I have suffered reproach, and shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my own kindred, an alien to my mother's children. Zeal for your house has eaten me up. The scorn of those who scorn you has fallen upon me. I humbled myself with fasting, but that was turned to my reproach. I put on sackcloth also, and became a byword among them. Those who sit at the gate murmur against me, and the drunkards make songs about me.
Shut itself.
The second reading today comes from Romans 6, chapters 1b through 11, or chapter 6, verses 1b through 11. A reading from Romans. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Word of God, word of
the Holy Gospel for today comes from Matthew, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 24th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they then malign those who are of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs on your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
your friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. No. I brought a lightsaber. But a lightsaber. That's what the text says, right? Well, maybe after Star Wars, it might be translated that way, but no. No. He says, I've come to bring a sword. It's bigger than a lightsaber. And many of you out there know this, I am a big superhero fan. So this morning, that's what I'm going to talk about. So an easy question to get us started, have any of you seen the movie Wonder Woman? I can't be the only one. Good. A few of you. Any of you planning on seeing Wonder Woman? This would be time to cover your ears. Okay? Cover your ears. Wonder Woman, it's a very popular movie in theaters right now. And there are a couple of parts that I want to talk about in specific. Wonder Woman's an Amazon who meets a spy named Steve Trevor. They leave together to try and stop World War I from continuing. It's near the end of the war, and they don't want it to go on. They're going to try to stop it. Through all that, she continues to bring a sword to fight for America, not just for America, but for Germany, Britain, and not just one country, but instead all of humanity, to save it from itself. She even goes so far as to say that her mother was right. Humanity did not deserve her. Didn't deserve her. It was full of deception, evil motives. It would try to destroy itself ultimately. But Wonder Woman went on to say humanity was all of that, but it's also much more. Love is there too. And she told Ares at the end of the movie, the god of war, that his reign was over. She came not to bring peace, but a sword, and spoke for all of humanity, even though they did not deserve it. And I love superheroes, and sometimes their stories tend to remind me of the greatest hero of all, and that's Jesus, the only hero we can truly rely on, the only savior that's true. And yet, in the gospel reading today, we have a Jesus that we don't always like to think about. We like to think of the Jesus that says, I've come to bring peace. I've come to bring healing, forgiveness, non-aggressiveness, willing to walk through a crowd instead of being stoned. Doesn't say a word when he could have defended himself before Pilate. When he says, my peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. But instead, here he's saying, I've come not to bring peace, but a sword. That's what I've brought. Instead, we have that Jesus talking about the sword, setting a man against his father, daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. One's foes will be a member of one's own household. Not what we usually hear or like to hear, is it? But in a way, this tells it like it truly is for us, doesn't it? I've come bringing a sword. I've come to shake things up in a way you can never imagine. And you know what? He's still shaking things up today. He hasn't stopped in over 2,000 years from really slicing into our lives, cutting into everything. So what does a sword do? I'm not going to illustrate, but it cuts things. It slices through things. In reality, it makes what was once whole split, opens it up, makes it new. And that's what Jesus has done. He's come with this sword to make all things new. He continues to cut through what we think we know. He continues to do that, continues to make things new. At the time of Jesus, you know, people were sticklers about what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath day. Really, don't do any sort of work. Well, what did Jesus do? He really cut right through that and he healed the sick. He plucked grain. He did other good works and all sorts of things on that day of rest. Well, there was a big difference between Jews and Gentiles. Ones were going to be saved, one weren't. Well, he didn't leave anyone behind. He wasn't afraid to slice into that and welcome the Jews and Gentiles, the sick and the healthy, the rich, the poor. He came for all people. If that's not shaking things up or cutting into what we thought we knew, I don't know what is. Jews were waiting for a Messiah, one to save the Jews only. But Jesus came for all people. That act alone definitely caused a division in some households. Maybe not right away, but I'm sure it did over time. Jews that once followed the law of Moses alone began to follow Jesus, causing a man to go against his father, daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Even one's foes will become members of one's own household. One's foes, like the Gentiles, anyone who had been outside of the Jewish tradition at the time. And you know what makes it really a double-edged sword? He still came to save those that were not following the right way anyway. All people. Just when you think you have it figured out, he seems to be slicing with the other end. Keeps slicing into what we think makes sense. Keeps making it new. And that sword still cuts today, like it did then. There are times we think we have all the answers, don't we? Sometimes our political leanings can cause us to be separated. Our interpretation of the Bible can split us up. Even how we were raised by our parents can separate us. And yet Jesus keeps drawing us back to the center, He brings the sword into our lives and tells us that what we don't often want to hear. This sort of thing didn't end in the past, and it still happens in our lives, even today. And one big way that I can point to that the sword that Jesus came changed everything we can understand is in the law. No longer can it save. No longer can we ever do enough to earn our salvation. No longer can we truly die, thanks to Jesus, cutting through the things that we thought we knew and giving us instead the gift of grace, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. No longer is it what can we do, but instead it's Jesus saying, this is for you, a gift, no strings attached. Now, if that goes against the norm, I don't know what does. Bringing a sword and cutting into what we thought we understood as the way to salvation. Jesus lays down his life in a peaceful revolt. He goes to hell and back to save us, to defeat the sin, death, and the devil. To say, your reign, your control over my children's over. Much like Wonder Woman's mom said to her, they don't deserve you. We too do not deserve. We are not worthy, as the gospel for today said, of this gift from Christ. It's not peaceful. It destroys the status quo. Jesus does not negotiate. Instead, he goes in with the sword and takes us back. Takes us back from sin, death, and the devil. And he does this for you and for me without even asking. That's why we do the confession and forgiveness at the beginning of worship. To hear that, to see that happening. God slicing into our lives, which we know are far from perfect, and instead rescuing us, instead of leaving us to death, forgiving us of our sins. He still interferes in our lives, still leads us, still saves us. And if that's not enough, the baptism today for Parker and Hayden will remind us of that, that Jesus cut into our own lives. Even though we were dead to sin, we'll definitely be alive in a resurrection like his. We're going to see that. That's going against the norm of what we think, too. Cutting into everything we thought we knew. That's not very peaceful. So today, when we sing the next hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, I want you to instead listen to the words. If it's a little quieter than usual, that's okay. Really read the words. Hear the words. Sing the words. Hear what Luther's saying. And let it sink into your heart of how Jesus came with a sword and is not sorry about it, not sorry about saving us. Hear how Jesus, our sword and shield, is victorious. He wins our salvation, defeats sin, death, and the devil, even when our strength is not enough. On our own, we're lost and rejected, but Jesus cuts into our lives as a champion and is victorious. Even today, we're tempted, and sin continues to try and control us. Sin, death, and the devil try. But one little word, one little phrase subdues it. The word for you, grace, forgiveness of sins, eternal life for you. And thanks to that sword that's being talked about today, that sword that cuts into our lives, the kingdom is for all of us, today and always. Thanks be to God for bringing the sword to save all of us, bringing that sword for me, and for all of you as well, to save us. Amen.
Called together in the Spirit's embrace, let us pray for the mending of God's world. At the end of each petition, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and your response would be, hear our prayer. How long, Lord? How long must we continue to suffer the labor pains of the whole creation? How long will we be contending with the weeds that have been sown by the enemy? Weeds that have polluted the beauty of your created order. Weeds that keep us from seeing the fullness of what it means to be children of God. Lord, in your mercy. The world is seething with hatred and division. This corner of your creation is in deep travail, deep, painful labor. We have welcomed an enemy into our lives that we have learned, and we have learned the enemy's lesson all too well. The truth is that we've got to be taught to hate and fear. We've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in our dear little ears. We've got to be carefully taught. We've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made and people whose skin is a different shade. We've got to be carefully taught. We've got to be taught before it's too late, before we are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people our relatives hate. We've got to be carefully taught. Rescue us, Lord, from the lies of the enemy and from the lessons of fear and hatred that we have learned. Lord, in your mercy. Yet, Lord, we still wait with hope. Although we cannot see the end, we can say this: whether good or ill come upon us in this lifetime, we are never outside your watchful eye and your loving care. We are never beyond your reach and your safekeeping. You know our hearts and our thoughts. Our hope is in the words you declared: fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, let our hearts be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Let our hearts be good soil where love is found and peace is understood. When our hearts are hard, break the stone away. When our hearts are cold, warm them with the day. When our hearts are lost, lead them on your way. Lord, let our hearts be good soil. Lord, in your mercy. We rejoice in the baptism of Parker and Hayden. We hold them and their parents and sponsors in prayer, that they and all of us may live each day in your love and grace and forgiveness. By your power, great God, our Lord Jesus healed the sick and gave new hope to the hopeless. Though we cannot command or possess your power, we pray for those who want to be healed, and we lift the names of those who are asked that we pray for them before you now. Would you join with me in reading the names of those from your bulletin? Michaela, Judy, Amy, Janet, Ione, Dave, Tim, Marge, the family of Naomi, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Magdalenas, missionaries Colin, Jenny, Josephine, and Amos. Mend their wounds. Soothe fever brows and make broken people whole again. Help us to welcome every healing as a sign that though death is against us, you are for us and have promised renewed and risen life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. All these things, and whatever else you see that we need, we entrust to your care through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Receive Amen. The blessing. May God, whose power working in us and can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Go in peace. The Spirit sends us forth to serve.
Thanks
be to God.